Today on Straight Talk Africa, Pope Francis has landed. He is in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. His trip retraces the first ever papal visit to Africa by Pope Paul VI, like they did in Uganda back in 1969. Millions of Africans are rejoicing at the pontiff's message of peace, tolerance, and hope. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, November 25th. I am Shaka Sali. My colleague and social media reporter, Mariam Jaro, is off today. And today, we'll discuss the historic significance of the Pontiff's three-nation tour of Africa. And coming up later in our STA inbox, you, our audience, have weighed in on our topic through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. And we'll reveal some of them later. But first, Pope Francis arrived in Kenya earlier today to begin his first official visit to Africa, where he's expected to address major issues that affect the people of the region. From Nairobi, my colleague Jill Craig has more.
Pope Francis will be visiting the Nairobi slum of Kangemi during his visit. Advocating for the poor has been a key tenet of his papacy. In his native Argentina, he was even referred to as Bishop of the Slums.
Many Kenyans, a good number of Kenyans, are going through difficulties. And so when they see the Holy Father now living a very simple life, you know, he is now identifying with the poor, with the people who are suffering.
Pope Francis is scheduled to speak with young Kenyans during his trip. And if this visit is like previous ones, he will likely urge them to work together, dream big, and above all, have hope. Luke Kariuki thinks this message will resonate with young people here.
Some youths will be welcome to the church. Some will change their lifestyles. Those who have been abusing drugs, they will change.
The Pope is also expected to address climate change, having previously said that the underprivileged are disproportionately affected. Pope Francis is also expected to meet with different faith leaders, an important gesture in a country that has experienced its share of interreligious and interethnic violence.
Because the Pope addresses humanity, you know, not just the Christians.
The Pope stays in Kenya for 3 days before leaving for his next destination, Uganda. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
After being hosted by Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta, Pope Francis takes his message of hope to the people of Uganda late Friday. Uganda has one of the largest Catholic communities in Africa. Sagino Rosebrad reports for VOA that the highlight of his visit will be the 50th anniversary celebration of the canonization of 22 Ugandan martyrs.
As many as 2 million people are expected here at the Namugongo Shrine Saturday for a Mass with Pope Francis. This is one of Africa's most important Catholic shrines, says Reverend Vincent Lubega. Thousands of pilgrims walk here every June to pay tribute.
So Namugongo is important and the center of all the martyrdom because the head of the group was martyred here.
In 1886, a group of 22 Christian converts were killed by the Bugandan king for their refusal to renounce Christianity. In 1964, Pope John Paul VI canonized the group, and now, half a century later, the leader of the Catholic Church will mark the occasion.
He will come over through that door, kneel here, before the relics, and say a prayer in silence.
This is the country's third papal visit. The previous two were in 1969 and 1993. 40% of Ugandans are Catholic, one of the largest communities in Africa.
We are very happy that the Pope is coming. It's a long time since the other Pope was here.
The excitement is palpable.
We are selling T-shirts with the Pope and emblem, badges, the Vatican flag, the umbrella, all of them, including the photo of the Pope.
The Archbishop of Gulu says the Pope's timing is good, as Uganda heads to what are expected to be particularly contentious elections in early 2016.
Because his coming has rallied us all together. the government, the church, and the population at large.
Also important for Uganda, says the Archbishop, the Pope's concern about global inequality.
What does he normally do in many other countries? He talks about the rights of the poor. The sick should not be neglected. They should be supported by the governments.
Ugandans eagerly await the Pope's message as they put the finishing touches on the preparations. Serginho Rosplat for VOA News, Kampala.
Thanks, Serginho, for that report. The pontiff went to Kenya's State House earlier this evening, his first stop for today, following his arrival in Nairobi. For more on his meeting with the Kenyan president, VOA East Africa correspondent Jill Craig joins us live from Nairobi. Good evening, Jill.
Hi, Shaka.
I am hugely terrific. Give us a sense of the mood on the ground in the capital, Nairobi.
Sure. Well, I can tell you that it's one of joy. A few hours before the Pope arrived in Nairobi's airport, there were, you know, probably, we're estimating thousands of Kenyans had sort of lined the route that would go from the airport to State House, where, as you mentioned, the Pope would meet with President Kenyatta. And along that route, people were singing, they were dancing, they had banners, they had branded clothing and kangas, the traditional wraps here with the Pope's face on them. So I can say that people were very excited. And so each time when a car would come by, if it was the president, presidential escort or even a police car or an ambulance, people started cheering and clapping because they thought that the Pope was on his way. So when the Pope did come by and wave, that really made people very, very happy.
What is the significance of this particular trip for Pope Francis?
Well, this is Pope Francis's first trip to the continent of Africa, and he kicked it off in Kenya, which gives a lot of Kenyans quite a bit of pride. Obviously, Africans and more specifically Kenyans are dealing with a lot of issues right now. The Pope is expected to address everything from climate change, which, as we know, he's addressed several times in the United States. He's planning on addressing inter-ethnic, inter-religious violence, which Kenyans have had more than their share of, you know, back from the 2007-2008 post-election violence to the attacks in 2013, to even the April attack in Garissa this year, which are all so well known. In addition to that, Kenyans obviously are talking about the other attacks that have happened around the world recently. So I think that all of those things kind of combine to make that a particularly important issue for the Pope to address. As we know, the Pope also has made part of his papacy to talk about poverty and how we should be helping those who are underprivileged. So, you know, Africans obviously, again, have had more than they know poverty, many of them. So I would say that that particular message is going to resonate very well here. The Pope does even plan to visit the Kangemi slum on Friday morning. So I think that people see him as a Pope that kind of walks the walk instead of just talks the talk. And that means a lot.
It's very interesting that you say that people like him because he simply does not talk the talk, but in fact he walks the walk. I was going to ask you, this happens to be a man who is the head of a Catholic church, and yet he seems, frankly, to have the ability to effortlessly cross all the boundaries. What makes him tick, Jill?
Oh, that's a great question, Shaka. I think it's because he has such a message of humility for people that again, it resonates not just with Catholics, not just with Protestants, but even with Muslims and people of different faith entirely. The other day, I was in Kangemi interviewing folks, and one gentleman told me very proudly that he was a pagan, but depending on what Pope Francis had to say, well, he might change. So, I mean, Pope Francis does have quite a message. This evening, I was talking to some Muslim women, and they all said, you know, they didn't necessarily see it as exciting that the Pope was coming to Kenya, but they were very happy that he chose Kenya because they saw it as a great opportunity for the country. So, I think that that he does cross all boundaries, and you know, just as on a personal level, I can say that to see everyone out tonight. Very harmoniously, waiting for the Pope, cheering, clapping, and again, not just all Catholics. That was quite a moment, I think, for Kenya.
Of course, as expected, he paid the curtis call at State House Nairobi. Any particular highlights so far?
Well, he went to State House and he touched on some of the issues that we expect him to sort of develop more, you know, further throughout his six-day trip, both within Kenya, Uganda, and the Central African Republic. So he did mention the concern that he urged the government to show concern for the poor, to sort of show concern for the aspirations of youth, again, bringing in that message of hope for young people. And then, you know, finally, interestingly, he sort of touched on the need for good governance. He brought up those issues. And then, of course, as I mentioned, he also said that there's a need for peace and forgiveness in a place that has experienced inter-ethnic, inter-religious fighting. And so those were sort of the key messages that he had at State House. And so, and I should also mention that many of the local television stations were running Pope coverage continuously. So even his speech at State House was running live. So it kind of shows you the impact that has with Kenyans.
Now, Jill, I was wondering whether, in fact, this might be the first opportunity for you to have been able to come face to face with a Pope. If true, share with us your feelings, really.
Well, and I should start by saying, Shaka, I personally am not Catholic. I'm Protestant, but that didn't matter. I mean, I'm like so many other Kenyans who may not be Catholic, that it was very exciting just to see him come down. Now, when the Pope has made prior visits, I think in the United States, he was driving a small Fiat. I think that many people were sort of waiting with bated breath to find out what car he would be driving this time. This time he chose a smaller gray Honda. So he, you know, as he sort of went through the crowd, I mean, there was a very palpable feeling of, you know, this is someone that people really want to see. It wasn't, it sort of wasn't like other dignitaries where people, you know, clap politely and are excited just to see a famous person. I mean, people here really seemed happy that the Pope was coming. You know, and you know, he's waving out the window, and you know, he wasn't going as slowly as I think people had hoped. I think they had hoped to maybe see a little bit more of him, but obviously he had an appointment at State House that he couldn't miss. So I guess from a personal view, the first time to see a Pope was pretty exciting.
Very interesting, very interesting. Did it, in fact, meet your expectations, or were you perhaps expecting even much more?
I think it met my expectations, actually. You know, this is a much anticipated event. People here have been getting ready for it for quite some time. And, you know, just driving around Nairobi, you see the banners with, you know, Karibu Pope Francis, welcome Pope Francis. You see, you know, vendors selling the branded merchandise with Pope Francis's face on it. People sort of trying to draw some comparisons as to how Pope Francis's visit would compare to President Obama's July visit. So there has been a lot of anticipation, a lot of happiness, I must say. I mean, people are honored. They're truly honored that the Pope chose Kenya as the first stop on his first Africa trip. So I think it actually has given, you know, as the Pope always says, he's trying to inspire hope. And I think that in this case, I mean, just his arrival and his presence has inspired hope in Kenyans.
Well, you know as well as I do that the last time he came here, he actually took off some time and had lunch with the homeless in Washington, D.C. Does he plan to have that kind of interaction other than going to some nearby slum?
Yes. He will be going to Kangemi slum, one of the Nairobi slums, on Friday morning, and he will be giving a mass at one of the parishes there. So, you know, that particular place has been abuzz with activity as well. They've been paving the streets. They have been, you know, preparing themselves for mass. They, you know, they're really getting ready for it. And, you know, interestingly enough, when I was in Kangemi last week to talk to people, when you ask them, how do you feel about Pope Francis coming? The issue is not so much his comments that he's made in the past, what they think he will say this time. I mean, to them, it's nice that he cares for the poor, but on a more practical level, people told me over and over again that they were happy that security had improved in Kangemi and the roads were being paved. So for them, it was more of a very practical matter of what the Pope's visit meant for their particular community. But nonetheless, they're still very excited about him coming, and you know, we'll see what happens. But it's expected to be a packed event Friday morning.
Well, thank you very much, Jill, for your insight.
Thank you.
Have a good time. Now, we would like to pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on our today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA People in Africa or POP in Africa. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
Pope Francis visits Kenya. On Thursday, November 26, 2015, he will hold a meeting with interreligious and ecumenical representatives at the Papal Diplomatic Mission in Nairobi. Then, Mass on the campus of the University of Nairobi. Following that, a meeting with priests and other religious officials on the sports field of the St. Mary's School. And finally on that day, a visit to the United Nations office in Nairobi. On Friday, the Pope visits Kangemi neighborhood in Nairobi. Then he'll meet with youths at Kasarani Stadium. Following that, a meeting with the bishops of Kenya in the stadium's VIP room. Finally, a farewell ceremony at Jomo Kenyatta International Airport before departing for Entebbe, Uganda. Pope Francis' visit to Uganda. On Friday, November 27th, the Pope will arrive at Entebbe International Airport. Then he'll pay a courtesy visit with Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni at the State House. Following that, he'll meet with Ugandan members of the diplomatic corps. And finally, a visit to Munyonyo and a meeting with Catholic teachers.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gizui-Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Welcome back. And now joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests, Reverend Dr. Kwasi Kwakye Nwankwo, Associate Professor of World Religions at Howard University School of Divinity. In addition to teaching world religions, he also focuses on the study of religion, African Christianity, African Indigenous Religion, and Ntaro Alimas, President of the National Association of African Catholics, United States, an apostolate approved and promoted by the United States bishops to engage, support, nurture, build communities of African Catholics in the United States. Well, gentlemen, I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately. I gather that we are now joined by former Ugandan First Lady, Mama Miria Obote. Former Ugandan First Lady, of course, not once, but twice. Good evening, Mama Miria Obote.
Good evening, Shaka.
I am terrific. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Mama Miria Obote, of course, joins us from the capital, Kampala, via Skype. And Mama Miria, I know that many years ago, and I'm talking about 1969, that was the first time that the man who heads the Vatican actually visited Africa. And guess where? The first place, of course, was Uganda. You happened to be at the airport in Entebbe with your husband then, President Milton, Apollo Milton Obote. What was it like? I saw your very beautiful picture in a very beautiful busuti on the tarmac at Entebbe.
It was a historic occasion, very moving, and we are greatly honored that both of us were there to welcome the Pope Francis, on behalf of the government and the people of Uganda.
What do you think, why do you think Uganda was the country among the 54 African countries that was chosen for the honor?
Because Uganda is the only country that has African matters. The Pope came to bless the altar where we are going to build the shrine in memory of the 22 martyrs who were killed because of their religion, because of their faith.
How do you respond to some critics in Mama Media Obote that, yes, as far as Christianity is concerned, those are obviously martyrs, but that as far as the politics of the Buganda Kingdom of the day are concerned, those were traitors?
No, they are martyrs.
They are martyrs.
They are martyrs.
Now, talk to us about the benefits, for example, of hosting the first Pope Paul VI, I suppose.
Yes.
What would you say have been the benefits so far? Uganda, in fact, has hosted until today two popes. Another one came in, Pope Paul, I think, John II, in 1993. And now, of course, you are expecting to be hosting Pope Francis come Friday.
Yes, Uganda has been put on the map of the world now because of the Pope, because of all those things. I can tell you that years ago when I was a student, they used to ask me where I came from. And whenever I said I came from Uganda, they said, oh, Ghana. I said, no, Ghana is in West Africa, Uganda is in East Africa. Now, since we hosted the Pope the first time, second time, third time, everybody knows where Uganda is. And we are getting many pilgrims and visitors coming to this country. So Uganda is now a well-known country all over the world.
When you met Pope Paul VI, you must have exchanged some words. What did he say to you? And what did you say back to him?
Well, in my case,
but hello?
The talking was my hello. I said I greeted the Pope like anybody else. But the talking was done by my age.
I see. Are you looking forward to meeting Pope Francis come Friday?
I'll be honored to meet Pope Francis on Friday.
I'm afraid that we are experiencing some technical difficulties. Madam Milia Obote, but nevertheless, thank you so much, at least for sharing with us your experiences back in 1969. Well, it's been a pleasure. You heard, of course, Kwasi, you heard that at one time when Madam Milia Obote was a young lady, she was actually being asked about the experience of the Pope, and they thought that, in fact, rather than come from Uganda, not the experience of the Pope, the martyrs. Because of the martyrs, she said she was from Uganda and very proud to come from the land, obviously, where the martyrs come from. But somehow people mistook it to be Ghana. Why does Ghana keep overshadowing Uganda? Is it because of the Osagyefo? Is it because you are the first sub-Saharan African country to regain your political independence back in 1957?
I think it might be a combination of both. And also, looking at it from another perspective, it might be the fact that some people have very poor geography of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so they may be relying on the way the names of the country rhyme, that Ghana, Uganda, it rhymes. So perhaps that might have also contributed to that mistake.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Needless to say, whatever the case was, it was Uganda.
It was Uganda indeed. When you think about the matters, those matters of the time, what comes to mind really immediately?
As one of the early Christian leaders of the continent of Africa, long before Christianity even went to Europe, by name Tertullian, said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, when he was making reference to the persecution Christians faced at the early beginnings of the Christian religion. It ties into what happened to the Baganda martyrs, because their courage to stand for their faith became a source of inspiration for other people who felt that there was something worth living for and worth dying for in Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that propelled others to move into thinking about a relationship that they could derive because of the sacrifices those people made.
I see. What about you, Ntar Alimas?
Alimas, yes.
What about you, your reaction?
Well, it's pertaining to the martyrs of Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing is clear, first of all, that it's the sheer number of those martyrs. When it happened, how it happened. I mean, really to see how they stood up for their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't? And even years later, after the passing of the king of Buganda, there continued to be, you know, those persecutions. When I think about the martyrs of Uganda and their standing in the church, I remember being a small child in the DRC, in mm-hmm. the Congo, and you know, all we needed to we learned was about the martyrs of Uganda and what they did. I remember actually as a young man, I was a Mukizito,
mm-hmm.
because
yes.
as you know, Kizito was the youngest
yes.
of the martyrs of Uganda.
Yes.
And just let me make a parenthesis here, because I thought I would say that many people know about the 22 martyrs who were killed back then.
Mm.
I mean, because it has been. But in fact, those who have been canonized by now are 24.
There are 24.
Yeah,
that would include the two Anglicans? Or
yeah, no, there was like two other Ugandans, Daudi Okello mm-hmm. and Gildo Irwa, who were killed, actually, I think it was in 1918,
mm-hmm.
and who were canonized in 1964, if my dates are correct.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, but then there are 23 Anglicans
mm-hmm.
who were also killed during that period of the King of Buganda.
Uh-huh.
And actually, Pope Paul VI, when he was, beatifying, you know, the martyrs of Uganda, the 22, also made reference to the 23 Anglicans. He said, "We shall not forget also those 23 Anglicans who were killed for, you know, their faith in Christ." So all in all, you can say that there are 47
mm-hmm.
martyrs of Uganda, 24 who are, Catholic.
Universal,
and,
yeah.
And just, you know, and 22 who were killed by the king of Buganda, and then the two who were killed much later.
I see. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, we'll reveal some feedback we have received from you through social media. But now here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan in Nigeria.
This week's letter of the week comes from Okubo Omunwa Igadalo from Abuja, Nigeria. I sincerely hope that Pope Francis will use this significant visit to encourage Africans to see one another and the rest of humanity as brothers and sisters. I believe the Pope should encourage Africans to see, cultivate, and bring out the best in one another with the assurance that the love of Christ is always with us.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call us collect and we'll pay for the call. Or call direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiu-Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. As the Pope marks his first trip to the continent as Pontiff, residents in the region are very excited about his visit. This leads us to our question of the week, which asks, what messages are you most interested in hearing Pope Francis talk about during his visit to Africa? Before we begin, I would like to thank you for using all our social media platform to communicate to us. And I would like to remind you that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOAPope in Africa or Pope in Africa. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. And speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Joshua Ocheng of the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, who writes, I am basically interested to know the possibility of having an African Pope, more so after Pope Francis. We have another tweet from Rodney Tuhami, a law student at Makerere University in Kampala, Uganda. The message to our leaders who are on life presidency projects and human rights. Another tweet comes from Patrick Sembatia of Kampala, saying, since his main point will be about acknowledgement of martyrs, we expect to hear the importance of our saints' 50th anniversary. Well, now let's go to a comment from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan, Oruka Jeffrey Opapelo from Umbale, who writes, I believe the message of Pope Francis has been consistent in all of his travels. Mercy, he clearly believes in the ability to forgive and be forgiven. My request of the Pope during his visit to Uganda, please encourage the peaceful transition of power. I say this for God and my country. Hey, very interesting stuff here. Kwasi? Very interesting, isn't it?
Indeed, indeed. I think the issues that people have raised cuts across the broad spectrum of areas of needs and concerns in Africa. It seems to me the way our expectation for an African pope is long overdue. And I think even though we have to leave that to God to help us, in the next pope, we should allow Pope Francis to do what he is doing right now and not begin jumping ahead of ourselves, so to speak, because we still have a pontiff. He has work to do. And to be talking about the possibility of an African becoming a pope, which is a good idea, kind of brings an idea as if the Pope is not doing what he's supposed to do. I think that is an issue we ought to leave for the pontiff to do his work. With regards to the political area of concern raised, I will say that the leaders in Africa ought to learn the humility of the Pope and see how best they can serve rather than be served. Because if the Pope comes riding a Honda, then it tells volumes as to what power is all about and what leadership ought to be to be emulated. So we have a lot of learning to learn from this Pope, but I'm sure the leaders in Africa are just not hosting him and saying good words to him, but are learning the very basic leadership skills and examples of his life so that they can make a meaningful impact in the lives of their people. And I'm very persuaded that there's going to be a time when people are going to sit back and ask themselves, what have we learned of the visit of Pope Francis, who, as a pastor, is committed to the life of the poor? And if we have taken oath of office to uphold the people that are under our care, what are we doing? I think it's a question that African leaders, and Africans for that matter, should wrestle with, because the continent has suffered too much, and we don't need to continue going the way we are going, because the Pope is carving a new path that should help us see where we need to go.
Very interesting. Nataro Arimus, he's made some very interesting points, especially when he appeals to the African leaders perhaps to emulate some aspects of Pope Francis, and he's talking about humility. But doesn't that remind you, for example, when the Madiba, when Nelson Mandela, former president of South Africa, died, you heard what U.S. President Barack Obama said. He said, there are many leaders here who say they admire what Mandela stood for, standing, of course, for freedom, really. And yet, they themselves, when they go back to their own countries, what do they, in fact, do? They do the sort of things that, in fact, Madiba spent his lifetime fighting against. Why is it that we don't learn from each other?
Well, why we don't learn from each other, that is a difficult question to answer. However, I'll go with it and say, what will it take for us to finally catch the message? And I think here, Pope Francis has got it right. I think he has got the part where he said, keep repeating it. Keep repeating it. Keep showing by example what it means to serve, to care for the other. And here I'm really thinking that the message that clearly he brings to Africa at this time is that he's going to be talking about peace, reconciliation. He's going to be talking about how people dialogue together. He hopes to bring this, what he called the impetus, to overcome internal divisions. And I think once that message, is heard, not only by those who are in power, but also by those who should benefit from it, then at that time, you see, usually people get taken advantage of because they don't seem to know what they should be getting.
What their rights are.
And then that's really where I'm hoping that, this visit and this Pope, by keeping repeating things to us, our leaders are going to finally get it.
Well, if they don't get it, at least we can probably remind them
exactly
that they need to get it.
Yeah.
Well, now let's move on to a posting from Modeste Pokanja from Central African Republic, who writes, I would like the Pope to bring a message of peace, social justice, and dialogue between Muslims and Christians. I would also like him to talk about the hypocrisy of Western nations. And another Facebook comment comes from Chanika Ombachanika of Abuja, Nigeria, who writes, I am not at all happy that the Pope is leaving out South Sudan during his visit to Africa. The country needs a concerted effort to achieve peace. I am a Muslim, but to see the Pope visit Juba would have added value to the ongoing struggle for peace and stability. I am not happy. Well, let me stay with you again, Alimas. What about that? Does this individual realize, by the way, that Central African Republic, in fact, borders with South Sudan and, of course, your country?
Oh, yes. I believe the person's message comes from the heart. And here comes also from symbolism. He or she is thinking, well, the Pope in Juba, right? And all of the sudden, because of what's going on in there, what we know is that actually many of the people in South Sudan are going to Kenya. Many are in Kenya today. Many of the people will cross over to Uganda and basically will be up in Central Africa. Those two countries. The message for me here, and that's what is most important, is that the Pope is going to sit down with the leaders of the Muslim communities. He is going to visit a mosque in Bangui, you know, Central African Republic. He's going to be talking about how we live in this world as brothers and sisters. That, to me, is more important than that symbolism of being in Juba, right? And, of course, as you know, each country can say, we would like to see the Pope come to us.
Right.
Well, he chose three countries. I don't know what were the criteria. But I think that those countries, at this point, we will look at the message. We will look at what he's really doing, what he's trying to build up amongst the people. So,
thank you.
That's what I'll be looking at.
Your point is well made. Well, that does it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Comment our Facebook page, enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. Or you can join our YouTube channel, sign up to VOA TV to Africa, and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, nearly 2 years of fighting the Ebola pandemic, Sierra Leone announced themselves Ebola-free last month, with Guinea saying they will soon be declared free of the virus as well. Yet, unfortunately, neighboring Liberia has just announced 3 confirmed cases of the deadly disease last week. Join host Shaka Sali and his guests as they examine if there is an end to the Ebola pandemic in West Africa. That's next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Ndimiyaka. And let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Patrick. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka. Good evening, our guest. My name is Patrick Okrafo in Arujuku here in Nigeria.
You're most welcome.
Pope Francis coming to Africa is a blessing to all of us. What do we learn from his coming to Africa? Pope Francis coming shows that he is Pope for the whole world. No matter your tribe, no matter your color, no matter your language. Our leaders in Africa should serve us like the chief servant, not like masters and bosses. Pope's coming shows that Pope is a man of humility, a man against poverty. And I want to find out from our guests then, when do we hope that our Pope will also visit Nigeria, our country? Because we check around, you see that in Africa today, Nigerians are the highest number of Catholics in the whole Africa. Thank you very much, Mr. Shaka, and thank you, our guests.
Thank you very much, Patrick. How do you react to that, Kwasi? And I think he has a point. Nigeria is not only perhaps the largest Catholic country, so to speak, or has the largest, obviously, concentration of Catholics in Africa, but is also the most populous nation on the African continent. It is also the largest economy on the continent.
I think...
And in fact, they have a cardinal who was supposed to be in the queue to become perhaps the first African pope.
Cardinal Arinze. Yeah, you're right. I think it is hard for us to speculate as to why he did not choose Nigeria as one of the countries to visit. But I think looking at the three countries he's going, there are issues that he is dealing with in Africa, which those three countries are examples as to how he wants to showcase whatever message there is for the continent. So I will ask, you know, the person to persevere and see the next move that the Pope might make to the continent of Africa. But right now, I think it is a time for celebration that he has chosen these three countries to visit at this time. And we all need to thank God that he made time to visit the continent.
Very interesting. A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. If you wish to participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-6193-111. U.S. country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
Pope Francis' visit to Uganda. On Saturday, November 28th, the Pope will visit the Anglican Martyrs Shrine at Namugongo. Then a visit to the Catholics Martyrs Shrine again at Namugongo. Mass for the Martyrs of Uganda near the Catholic Shrine. And finally, a meeting with bishops of Uganda in the Archbishop's residence. Pope Francis visits Central Africa Republic. On Sunday, November 29th, the Pope will arrive at Mpoko International Airport in Bangui. Then he'll visit with Catherine Samba Panza, CRR's transitional president. Then he'll travel to a refugee camp. Following that, a meeting with the bishops of the Central African Republic. And finally, he'll hold a mass with priests, religious officials, and youth in the Bangui Cathedral. On Monday, November 30th, the Pope will meet with members of the Muslim community at the Kudukku Mosque in Bangui, and then mass in the Barthelemy Boganda Stadium. Finally, farewell ceremony at Mpoko International Airport, departure for Rome.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart. And let's go back to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. And this time, it is Sam himself, or Samuel, from Uganda, the other side of the continent. Good evening, Sam. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Shaka Sali. How are you?
Usually terrific. What about you, man? Are you waiting for Pope Francis?
We're waiting for you. Let me ask Mr. Limasi, what message do you think Pope Francis will ask Sub-Saharan Africa to ensure that they follow the religious norms and respect the martyrs who sacrificed strongly to keep Catholic and Protestant religions alive? What lessons do other religions in the diaspora envisage to ensure stability and freedom of worship? Thank you very much, Shaka.
You're most welcome, Sam. What about that, Taro Alimus?
Okay, well, I was not quite, I didn't catch the question quite well, but I think he wants me to address the part on, stability of worship.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that when it comes to matters of religion, they are visceral. People feel them in their inner parts, and mm-hmm. sometimes emotions make them, react many a time rather than really being a little bit rational about it.
Logical.
Yeah. And that's where, at this point, I love the way Pope Francis has been, giving out the message of the gospel. Love your brother. Serve your brother. If you remember well, when he first, was elected, the first time he went out for, to wash the feet of, people, there was a Muslim among the homeless, I think a Muslim woman among the people whose feet he washed. And now he's meeting with all these other religions and communities. What I think he's telling us is this. My message of mercy goes to all human beings. And you as Christians have to think of that. That is a powerful message. That's actually, to me, saying to people, the freedom of worship should be given to all. And then it's we as believers, we as the people of God, we as the body of Christ, who should work to make that happen. We can always cry out and say, we are not being afforded freedom of worship. Then the question should be, what are we doing for it to happen? And I believe he said something about what the diaspora can do to help out on that one. But we as the diaspora, we speak out, for instance, in NACUS, the organization that I am president of. What we do is we go out there and we say, look, we are here. We bring an Africanness to the Catholic Church. And these are the gifts. We are going to have an African Eucharistic Congress next year in August.
Mm-mm.
And that's where you're going to see all these Africans flocking to Washington, D.C. from all over the United States. And what we do, we celebrate Mass in our languages.
You give it a sort of
an African signature,
cultural diversity,
exactly,
authenticity.
Exactly.
Well, let's go to Joseph from Atlanta.
Good afternoon, Joseph.
I am terrific.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling you from Atlanta, Georgia. This is Joseph Fobby.
Okay, my man, go for it.
Yeah. Thank you, Shaka.
Listen,
it's always a good thing for the Pope to visit any part of the world, in this case, Africa, to encourage the Christians, especially in Africa here where the church is vibrant and has experienced phenomenal growth in recent times. I've listened numerously, and this visit has been described as Pope for the poor visiting a poor continent. I wanted to correct the notion that Africa is not poor, it's just a mismanaged continent. Don't remember that he is also the head of state. The Pope is the head of state. So I wish it could galvanize energy so that we can kick out these dictators, because they are the one responsible for this poverty that we are talking about, or so-called poverty. So if we kick out these dictators, all of them that have been in power for more than 10 years, we will begin to experience the kind of development that is seen in other parts of the world.
Joseph, where did you say you are coming from originally?
I'm originally from Cameroon.
Now, if in fact you had an opportunity to send a message to the Pope, what would you like him to say to Cameroonian President Paul Biya, the last time I checked, who has been in power since 1982?
I would say, Holy Father, tell him it's time to go.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Very interesting, isn't it?
It is very interesting. And I think what he's trying to bring to us is that we in Africa must galvanize our potentials, utilizing the energy that the Pope brings, and demand better. Because most of the time, what I see on the continent is that people are just ready to accept. And a person in the caliber of Pope Francis brings hope. He brings encouragement. He brings the best out of everybody to rise above his or her circumstance. And I think that is what we need to also build on and demand the best that we need to ask of our leaders.
How do you compare and contrast Pope Francis with the late Pope John Paul II, who was a crusader against communism?
Well, both of them were pastors, but I see Pope Francis as a pastor par excellence, meaning that he is not ashamed to be with people who are socially marginalized, going to places where many pontiffs have never ever gone to, washing the feet of homeless people. So dynamic as Pope John Paul was, I think Pope Francis comes into office and exemplifies the best of Christianity.
Does he have what it takes, for example, to liberate the vast majority of the developing world who are the poor, the oppressed?
I think what he is doing is giving those people something to hold on to, the hope for the future, the energy to transform the hope into living reality, and also the message of the love of God, which he exemplifies.
Well, on that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, the Reverend Dr. Kwasi Kwakye Nwako, Associate Professor of World Religions at Howard University's School of Divinity, and Natal Alimas, President of the National Association of African Catholics in the United States. Thanks to affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next, and tomorrow morning's Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.